And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show for this Friday, the 1st of August 2025, and it is 4 minutes past nine. And as we said just before the news there, we're broadcasting live from Kavanagh's Super Value in the heart of Dunloe here for the 58th Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. We have our Friday panel, which I'll introduce to you very shortly. Delighted to welcome two of our guests into our studio here and a third remotely. But coming after, or coming up after, 10, we've got some great chat, some amazing live music and some brilliant guests as well. So hopefully you can stay tuned throughout. And as always, it's a very visual programme. If you want to watch the show, you can on YouTube, which means that's good for your smart TV. All TVs are smart TVs now if you're buying them these days. Or you can get us on your Fire Stick as well. For whatever reason, you might have one of those. Now, if you want to watch us on Facebook, it's Highland Hub or Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituary Notices. And we're on the X platform as well. So no excuse, and we're broadcasting, of course, on FM across the Northwest and online around the world. So let us give you the numbers as well, by the way. It's business as usual on the phone lines. We really want your interaction. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. Dr. Joe Kelly is in studio with me. Dr. Joe, good morning to you. How are you keeping? Great to see you in person, though I see you on Zoom all the time, so it feels like it's always in person, really.
Well, mighty well you could hear me, Greg, and thank you very much for the invitation to come here. And this is a place I'm very happy to be in. It's where I work, it's where I teach. And
you work in Super Value?
I work in the school, the school up here behind Super Value, and it's just wonderful. And the festival, being honest, one of these gems that we have on our county and, in fact, our country. And it's great to have Highland out here today.
No, it's lovely. It's always a pleasure to leave the studio, but it's an extra pleasure, I think, to come to Dunloe. We also have another regular guest on the programme, Mary Cole, manager of Inn at Neave Patrick. Good morning to you, Mary.
Majin Wai, Greg, Jumatetu.
And Majin Wai, an interesting just listening to you and Dr. Joe back and forthing as you arrived here. And maybe out of politeness, but certainly out of necessity right now, speaking English to each other for one of the first times, if not the first time.
Actually, it is the first time. Every time we meet, you know, it's natural for us to speak in Irish. So maybe half of this morning could be in Irish, Greg.
Listen, I'll leave that up to you. If there's any blank expressions, that's just because I've had a bug all week. Emma McGrath, teacher and director of the McGrath Speech and Drama, joins us as well remotely. Emma, great to see you. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. How are you all?
I'm doing good. We might boost you up there just a little bit. It's good to have you with us. Right, let's start with what seems few and far between at times, but has to be celebrated when it does arrive, and that is good news, because it seemed for a very, very long time that Letterkenny University Hospital was on the brink of death by a thousand cuts. We heard behind the scenes, but certainly publicly, from sort of mid to late 2023, voices from within the hospital and within the health service in this county saying, look, you know, what's happening to patients is not acceptable. The distance people are having to travel, the conditions in which they're being treated. And then the focus turned, it was on the surgical hub at that time, but then the focus turned to the future, the very future of the hospital, and that being reliant on a surgical hub, not just for the work that a surgical hub does, but how you can attract staff and maintain services and keep your surgeons and keep your ED operating as it should. So it became critical. And the story was an interesting one. It transpired that, you know, Letterkenny University Hospital was never in the running at all. The surgical hub for Sligo University Hospital was the HSE's, locally, the HSE's only option, but also too formed part of the programme for government. And that led to quite a bit of a national outcry. But anyway, in fairness to the Health Minister, Minister Carol McNeill, she did listen to medical professionals, she did listen to the public, and then she made an announcement that I think an awful lot of people weren't anticipating. I'm on the record saying I thought she would, I'll be honest. But anyway, and it was that Letterkenny University Hospital will see the development of a new two-theatre surgical hub beside the existing hospital building, along with the addition of 40 ambulatory day oncology chairs, 15 of which are are new, and 15 of which are replacements. Now, I've spoken to a few people in the medical field since this announcement on Monday, and it seems some time ago, and they have said this is massive, this is brilliant, this is as much as almost as much as we were asking for. They think it's going to be delivered. They're going to keep the pressure on. And Emma McGrath, I'll start with you. This is one of those stories, isn't it, whereby, you know, a concerted campaign, a united political front, in fairness, right across all political parties and none, and a health minister with a genuine listening ear. And here we are with, hopefully now, a much improved hospital on the horizon. It is really good news, Emma.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It has to be welcomed with open arms. We've been crying out for it for so long. I'm delighted to hear that this week. Although I think tribute and great praise has to go to that strong group of lobbyists that continue to put the pressure on the health minister to, redirect her vision from Sligo towards Letterkenny. You know, the stats, the demographic, the geographical spread couldn't be argued with, really. And I guess when you combine that with such a strong focus group of lobbyists that were headhunted, or, you know, that were, came together working at the coal face, knew the reality of what life is like for the health service and the medical professionals here in Letterkenny and across the Northwest, that it really couldn't be argued with. So it definitely shows the benefit of political unity, and that the right voices speaking on the right topics really do get through to government. And that, I suppose, was backed so profoundly by the GPs across the county that it really couldn't be argued with. And I'm delighted that the right decision has been made, and look forward to seeing those services up and running and helping the people of our locality.
Yeah, Joe, it's all about delivery. But, you know, what lessons can be learned from this in terms of, you know, Donegal getting its fair share? Positive discrimination, even, dare I say.
Well, look, we're all delighted. This is massive for Donegal, and I've actually talked to a very reputable surgeon about it, and he says, for Donegal, this is amazing, this is great. But I would look at it differently. We're only getting what we deserved. And here we are clapping each other in the back, forgetting something that we should have had got. This is something we shouldn't have had to fight for. And you talk about political unity. We have five TDs, and I really don't care about the politics of the TDs. This was five TDs wearing the Donegal jersey. And we need to start doing this more often. And the lesson isn't for the politicians. The lesson's for us, your listeners, the voter. Are the TDs wearing the Donegal jersey or not? And we have to stop looking at things politically with parties. When the five TDs leave Donegal, are they wearing the jersey? And it's not good enough for us to go around clapping, congratulating ourselves, thinking we've achieved something with this hospital announcement.
Well, it's close on half a billion investment, right? So
absolutely.
I do take your broad point,
admire Jennifer Carroll McNeill for making this decision. And I have to say I'm very impressed. And this is a great decision by a Fine Gael minister for Donegal. There's no doubt about that. But the big picture is, why do we have to fight for this? And I'm just thinking of, and I'm going to go across the political parties, Jimmy McDade, when he was Minister of Sport, what he did for Donegal and all the sporting organisation. And he was hammered for having spent money in, you know, locally. Joe McHugh did the same. Charlie McConnell did the same. Pat De Cope did the same when he was Minister for Gaeltacht. They spent money in the county, having a politician that would be a minister spending money in the county. But the point is, what about the other issues? And can we get our five TDs to put on the jersey when it comes to Donegal, for Letterkenny Lifford, when it comes to a bridge over Letterkenny, when it comes to the bypass for Ballybuffet?
But they are all in the, you know, the National Development Plan, all funded, progressing in planning, Joe, in fairness. But the 10T, I take your point, but...
But look at this. Harry Blaney got his bridge and it's there. Neil T. Blaney, Knockalla, and you think of the LYIT, or is now the A2U. Those infrastructures are there. And if the TDs, we have five TDs, that would be enough to form a party to go into government and to control the balance of power. Marion Harkin had it down as a red line, so to speak, for her negotiation for Sligo, that she would get this in Sligo. Yet we had five TDs that didn't have this on the table. We have to think of the consequences of this. And I've said this before in your show. For the first time in the history of the border counties. So you go from Louth, Cavan, Monaghan, Leitrim, Sligo, Donegal. We don't have an MEP. And Donegal has 127,000 votes. And I don't want to be political on this, but Niall Blaney stood and he got 40,000 votes. Well done. But the next time round, I don't care what colour they're wearing. But they're wearing the Donegal jersey. Everybody in Donegal should be voting for them.
I think, though, if we had effectively 26 groupings in the Dáil, because that's effectively what would end up happening, and it's not 26 because some straddle counties, okay, no work would ever be done because you'd have 26 groups of individuals saying these are all red lines for our particular areas. That's it's wonderful, Joe, but that's not how politics work.
But it is how it works, because you just look at the National Development Plan. The National Development Plan lays out categories of funding, and so much funding is going into each category. So, for example, we don't have rail, so we cannot access the funding that will go into other counties that have rail. Then we should be positively discriminated for in giving extra road funding, because we need the roads because we don't have trains. This is what I'm saying, is it's not about the 26 counties, it's about getting our fair share. And I've always said this, done in Donegal, for the first time I think in decades, we've realised that we're not done when we unite and put on the Donegal jersey. And I think the lesson is not for the politicians. The lesson should be for the people of Donegal. And thank you to the doctors and to Highland Radio and for everybody that got behind this. But this would not have happened had the politicians not been afraid that the people were waking up and realising that we must fight for ourselves. And waiting for Dublin or anywhere else to do that for us ain't going to happen.
Well, any successes we've seen on in this county, and well, not any, but the big ones that you can think of were off the back of people organising. You know, your Betty Holmes, your Rosina Toners and others battling this, lone voices actually, standing quite literally alone at times, campaigning on issues and matters like this. And Mary, I take Joe's broader point, but I suppose to the initial point, and you can talk to his as well, you know, this is a remarkable achievement for the people, as Joe mentioned, the medical professionals and, you know, the politicians who did stand together.
It is. It's great news altogether. And I think Joe has exhausted the political piece of it there. So I'm going to stand on the side of the patients. We work very closely with cancer patients. And this was a necessity for Donegal. I think there was a bit of a blunder at the beginning. And I think it came right in the end. And I think really the minister had no choice. This was the only way forward, because there would be an absolute uproar if we didn't get this. But I think it's the power of the people again. I do think it's always the people on the ground, and it's always, as Joe said there, the 171 doctors and GPs that stood together for this. It just shows again that we do have political people that are fighting for us, but I just think sometimes they don't fight hard enough. And I always think for Donegal, it is always the power of the people. We certainly know how to stand together, and if we need something, we know how to go about it. So I'm listening to all this political. I'm not that political myself. I always think that the power is within the people. And you're right, it's who we vote in. And, you know, if...
In fact, he's kind of saying the same thing, but just coming at it from slightly different angles.
Well, it is really, I suppose, saying the same thing. I don't want to go down the political route with this, because I think it is definitely... it was a need... It was a necessity, and I think it is really time that Letterkenny Hospital got the shake-up that it needs,
concerning. And I do agree with you in that regard. And you know, obviously, when we were covering this story over the years, and particularly I think when the current health minister came into position, I did kind of probably for right or wrong bat off a bit of criticism from her because we hadn't seen what she might deliver or not. You know, and the default position often is just, you know, opposition for the sake of just opposing someone who's in a seat, but we had to give her the space to do what she did. I'll come back to you, Joe. Emma, the thing about health, the problem with health and getting people together is it's a toughie, because if you haven't been in the hospital recently, if you don't have someone with an eye condition that they have to go travel, you know, hundreds of miles to get an injection just to retain their eyesight and often choose not to, or they have to travel €400 in a taxi to Galway for a 15-minute appointment to do with a cancer diagnosis they have. We can find ourselves being somewhat detached from the issue. And I think that's why it was so important that the medics were the strong voice and the people were able to come in behind them, Emma.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, Greg, we all have to know somebody, I mean, that has meets the services or has utilised our health service in recent times. And while we all agree that the staff at the Cold Place have worked tirelessly and give it their all and excessively, that the structures and the system just doesn't back them up. So, I mean, I think this, of all causes that we have been fighting in Donegal, obviously there's really worthy causes, or mica crisis and all of that. Health is the one that's going to unify everybody. So it doesn't surprise me that the support was there from the very beginning. And also those, the GPs across the county that are overburdened with the influx of new patients trying to register. They are feeling the pressure from the ground up. So therefore, that is something that really, really needed to be addressed. And here's hoping when it is delivered, and positive it will be, and I hope it will be in a timely time frame also, that we will see, you know, the knock on and the benefit right down to your local GP surgery, and that your after hour services, and that the system will become more effective and more efficient with the support now that has been pledged to us here in the Northwest. And we will greatly, greatly welcome that.
I feel a little bit ignorant. I'm having to look off to my right to see you, Emma, but I'm looking at you, if that makes sense, even though I'm forcing you to look at my left ear. Joe, did you want to come back in there before we head to the break and switch topics?
Just to say, and I think you're being maybe harsh on yourself, but look, I'm looking behind you and I say, Highland Radio, your voice, your station. The platform that Highland Radio have given for this issue and many other issues is terribly, terribly important. And if we didn't have this independent radio station, then I just wonder how much traction this whole issue would have got. And I know when...
Can I be honest? And I don't think it would have got very much at all.
Well,
that is the truth. And that's notwithstanding there's other media in Donegal that have worked very hard on this.
Yeah.
But we really all had to push this.
Yeah.
And I think really when this sort of became part of the Lowry deal that Friday morning, a few weeks ago, and then sort of in a strange sort of a situation, we had Michael Healy-Ray coming on trumpeting it as if it was fantastic, perhaps not fully aware that he was speaking to the wrong audience on that. I think that very much worked to our advantage on this.
Absolutely. And again, it's, look, when politicians or anybody comes on your show, you ask the hard questions, and people usually, when they're talking, it's what's wrong that they point out rather than what's right. And there's a lot of things we can celebrate, and there's a lot of great things that our TDs and councillors are doing, but there's things that aren't right that we want to improve. And this is a platform where people can voice this, and this is back to what my was saying here. You know, the power of the people is greater than the people in power, and that's the lesson we've learned from this. The power of the people is greater than the people in power. And maybe we might waken up as a people in Donegal and realise that the only people that's going to look after Donegal is ourselves. And we're very lucky and fortunate that we have independent radio and also independent papers, newspapers throughout the length and breadth of the county that support and give a platform for the people to speak.
And listen, and Donegal Daily as well, is a huge online reach as well, and reaches all types of different demographics, just to give everyone a fair shake. Okay. Listen, that's the voice there of Dr. Joe Kelly. We also have Marie Coyle with us, and Emma McGrath is with us as well. So much more conversation on the way. Keep your texts coming in to us, please, 0860 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. We really want your views. And don't forget, coming up after 10, we've got fantastic chat, live music, all from Super Value. Cavernous Super Value here in Dunloe. It's all part of our visit here, our annual visit now at this stage, to the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. It's celebrating its 58th year, can you believe? Texter says, we're continuously told we never had it so good, so why celebrate what should be the norm? We are getting a hub in the hospital, which is the least we should be getting, so it's crumbs. Would Dr. Joe think of going into politics and Leinster House himself, as he's talking complete sense for the majority of us, 3 TDs and Donegal jerseys, and what the 6 TDs, or it's 5 TDs, should be getting for the county? I'm not sure I've asked you this 1,000 times. I think it's you prefer to sort of maybe comment from the, I was going to say sidelines, but...
Well, look, the way I look at it in this regards, regards Donegal, we have 5 excellent TDs and we're very well served by them. And also, and I'll say this...
Sounds like you're backtracking there.
No,
Did you get a text?
No. And we have 37 excellent councillors. I don't think that, you know, criticism is maybe people's way of going on. I think looked at the positive. And we have people that are very, very capable and articulate. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have councillors, hard-working men and women across the county. Why would I want to go into somewhere where there's people already doing a good job? All that we need to do is keep them doing a good job.
Yeah, no, I get you. I think that's fair enough. Mary Cole, if you don't mind, just to reference back, because I want, I think it's very important when we have someone like you with the coal face just to get a sense of the reality. So at the moment, there's an awful lot of, and it's quite usually older people who have a degenerative what's it called again? The macular degeneration.
That's
okay,
it, yeah.
Which is manageable with an injection. I think it's monthly or every other month. At the moment, that has to be administered in Sligo. Now you are and your team are bussing people left, right, and centre to Sligo, just so
Absolutely.
People understand what's going on and why things are so important.
You know, Greg, I could give you so many examples. You know, in which. Highland Radio played a role themselves because, first of all, to address Sligo, we can be in Sligo on a daily basis. This is really old people, older people who cannot get to Sligo, who cannot get further injections to Sligo. So thanks to the volunteer drivers that we have, we are in Sligo almost daily. It is one of the busiest, and it
is a simple
thing.
So, what about the older people then, Mary, that don't know about your services, or don't avail of your services, or don't even want to undertake their journey? What's happening to those people? That's what really worries me. You know, they're slowly but surely being isolated every time in all different ways, and your eyesight retreating. You know, because you can't be taking everyone there, and everyone who needs to be going there for these injections can't be going there.
Absolutely. And it has become... I contacted Sligo Hospital and I tried, you know, is there a way that we can coordinate this so we can send a bus down and that these people can be seen, you know, and if we're down... I mean, it doesn't take that long to do this, you know, so... And we were told... No, it can't be coordinated because there's different consultants and people are going to see different. And really, you know, I suppose that was kind of thrown back at us, you know. But as you say, we don't have the resources to take everybody down. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's a good thing that not everybody knows about us. And I'm talking about it here because we can only do so much because we don't just go to Sligo. But
at the same time, we can also drive more fundraising as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And that is the bottom-up approach again, that is the local people. But where Highland Radio played its part, and you might not even realise this, that we had, and it's okay for me to talk about this because I have spoken to this gentleman many times, but how do you get somebody from Malin Head to Galway? Mm. And then for a procedure that is needed, and then also to Dublin. So this gentleman rang Highland Radio and you passed on my number, and the rest is where the story leads to Galway and Dublin. So how we manage this is we took this gentleman from Malin Head down to Letterkenny, put him up in Letterkenny in one of the hotels for the night. The car picked him up the next day and took him down to Galway and reversed the journey. I got a text from this man and it was absolutely lovely, and he said, thank you for keeping me alive. I mean, how do they expect older people like that to get from Malin Head to Galway for a procedure that he needed and then expect him to go to Dublin? And we have to do the same thing when this gentleman's going to Dublin. Take him into Gweedore, put him up in a hotel in Annagre, and fly him up the next day and then do the reverse journey again. Not alone that it's so difficult for a pensioner to do this, but they couldn't afford it without the help that we can give them. And it is the reality of patients in Donegal that we hear these stories all the time. We hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is where I want political pressure. This is where we need more than the services that we can provide. Mm. We need more of us to do this, because otherwise, and it has been said to me all the time, if we were not there, they would not go for the procedure, or they would not go. They couldn't do it.
I mean, every councillor should be given half of their blooming allowance to this, really. It's so important to the people of the county. If anyone wants to sort of support the work that you're doing, Mary, and yous are always very discreet in the fundraising, you know, but it's so, so vital to the work that they do. Where can they go? Having listened to what you've just mentioned there, having listened to how you're effectively, by his own words, keeping that gentleman alive, how can people support you today?
Really, we are based in Enid New Pádraic. It is a service within Enid New Pádraic in Gweedore, and anybody can contact the centre. There is so many people that are so good to us that fundraise, as you did yourselves in Highland Radio. And it is, again, the people. It's the bottom-up approach that is keeping this service going.
And I think we really do need to see, and I'm glancing at Carolyn here to some extent, we really do need to see if we can make any inroads or get some pressure on this, even if there was a remote clinic a couple of days a month from Sligo to here. It can't be beyond us to try and offer some relief for these people. Dr. Kelly, you wanted to come in there briefly. Well, not briefly, take as long as you like.
Here we are again, where Donegal is second-class citizen. If you're living in Sligo or elsewhere, you don't have to worry about this transport. But here in Donegal, it's an issue.
Yeah, but we have to be solution-focused.
We have to be solution-focused, and we can give 800,000 to the Ukrainians to take their dogs from Ukraine to Ireland, but we can't look after the sick people of Donegal. No, it's a matter of priorities. And I'm sorry, and that is a political decision. If the infrastructure is not in the county and our older people need to avail of it elsewhere, then we should have it. We have a duty of care as taxpayers, and the taxpayers are the people that give the government the money. The government should be looking after. And much as I commend you, Mary, for all you're doing, this should not necessarily be something that should be have to be done by people like yourself volunteering and people driving that are volunteering and raising money through Highland and other ways. This is something that should be understood as a service provided to the old people. Are we saying that Donegal is not a place for old people to get old in? Or for young people to get older.
No Country for Old Men is that film. Did you want to come in on that, Emma, or should we move on? I'm just conscious that you're the person not in this office, and I don't want to neglect you because I very much value your opinion, as all our listeners do.
No, absolutely. And what your other guests, Joe and Mary, have said, I wholeheartedly agree with. My own very good friend's mother attends Sligo frequently for such injections and was there as recent as Wednesday. And I know the hassle and the upheaval it takes. And she is fortunate, as she say herself, to have family members to be able to bring her there. And yet while sitting in that clinic, she has met other elderly people that may not be aware of such services that Mary offers. And it's like Mary says, she cannot take care of the whole county either. But mentioned in particular one elderly person who had no children, was not married, and had to ask nephews or nieces to take her from North Donegal to Sligo. So I think she got a one way, she got dropped there, but in the end up had to stay the night and make her way back on the bus herself. You know, obviously there's a downtime after such a procedure, so therefore she couldn't travel unaided. But you know, that's the reality, because as we know, elderly people don't often like to ask for help perhaps, or put people out. And this is the compromise or the solution that this person found. So it's just so sad to think 2025, this is what we're dealing with. So,
yeah. And as I'm listening to you, Emma, you know, I'm hearing the word in my head, burden, and then I'm thinking of other national conversations that are happening about things like assisted dying and stuff. And I just think we really need to be careful that we we cherish and we nurture and we embrace and we support our older people, because they are vital, and without them we simply wouldn't exist. I'm going to have to rope Lee Gooch in and do another fundraiser for you, Mary. I'm not sitting in the car for 3 or 4 days. He's going to have to come up with something handy, but we're definitely going to have to work on something in the near future. Right, okay, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with so much more. I didn't want to rush that along because this is sort of a fluid conversation, and we sort of went into a space I didn't anticipate, but when we've got people like Emma with her insight and Mary and Joe, it would be remiss not to sort of stick on such a serious topic. And we appreciate your WhatsApps and your texts coming in to us. And let me remind you again, 086 60 25,000. Well said, Joe Kelly. We should have the best roads in the country because of having no rail. Look at the road network on Google Maps south of the county compared to the northwest. And although they don't care that people have to get to Dublin or Galway for hospital appointments, big deal about a hub when people can't get to the hospital. Why isn't there transport services provided by the state? We can't even align public bus services to appointments for people in Galway, right? So before you start talking about specific services, we can't even work a system whereby someone can get on a bus, and when that bus arrives in Galway, it's a good time for them to arrive, and when they want to leave, the bus gets them home in a timely fashion. That's why there's two overnight stays in Galway for someone going down for something that could be incredibly brief. The hub and the other promises for Letterkenny University Hospital certainly might address some of that, but look, there's other things I think we can work on. And I think the eye injections, if I could put it so bluntly, there has to be a local solution to that. And hey, even if there was, look at the resources it might save for Mary and her crew to allow them to do all the work. So I think it's certainly worthwhile pursuing something along those lines. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're broadcasting live from the 58th Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival, and we are live in Kavanagh's Super Value. And my word, they shop early here in Dunloe. You can hear the beeps and the potentially in the background. Just to give you an idea of what's coming up, we're going to have live music later on from the Railway Boys. We have George Murphy in studio singing, Aveen Boyle. We're going to be chatting to Gavin Boyle and John Bosco O'Donnell about the festival. John Bosco O'Donnell opened the festival. We're going to speak to Celine Powell, a lovely lady who was the first Mary from Dunloe, and could probably give it a run still, if the truth be told. And that's all coming up, but we still have some chat to go. My neighbour, who's in his 80s, pays over €200 for a taxi from Inishowen to Sligo for eye injections every couple of weeks. Disgraceful how our elderly are treated. Morning, Greg. One of the great services we lost in Donegal was Marley's bus. This bus travelled to Dublin 5 days a week all year, dropped you at wherever hospital you needed to go to get and collected you coming back. I used this bus for 13 years and was such a great service. Should never have been taken away, but the HSE made that decision. And the only person to thank for the hospital situation is Greg. Okay, Caroline, you should... Yeah, no, well, listen, we all work together. OK, thanks for that. 086 60 25,000. Now, reading in the papers today, some Gardaí have shown a blatant disregard for roads policing duties, according to a sobering unpublished report. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris said he received an anonymous report before commissioning an examination of how roads policing operations were carried out. The findings of that examination have been described as shocking by Mr. Harris and the chair of the Policing and Community Safety Authority, Elaine Byrne. Ms. Byrne said the authority had received the report in June and had found some members showed a blatant disregard for their job while they knew their actions were being reviewed. They were openly hostile to doing their job, she said. Management also were very reluctant to intervene on this. Now, we don't have the full report. We only have sort of the bones of it. But, I mean, I've got the bank holiday road safety message ringing in my ears. I've got the sense of someone who may have lost, you know, a loved one in a road traffic collision, and they're hearing this and they're saying, well, was enough being done to ensure that that person who was drink driving and smashed into my loved one, was enough being done to keep them off the road, for an example? These are the type of emotions a story like this are going to invoke. Emma McGrath, as I say, we don't have all the details, but on the face of it, like, these guards were behaving like they were behaving with someone in the squad car with them. You know, this was not a covert operation. These weren't secret cameras hidden there. This was a very blatant disregard for their duties. Now, this was a nationwide study. I'm not saying it is reflective of the work of our Gardaí here in Donegal, but I'll tell you, there's going to be people reading this very, very upset this morning.
I do, and I appreciate that, Greg, but part of me do wonder, is this a summer story? Is this something that just is filling newspaper headlines? Obviously, if a report is done, we will await and, I guess, study it in greater detail. But at the moment, it's just headlines and bylines that we're seeing. I guess in any job, in any profession, in any industry, there is going to be a percentage that are not working efficiently and effectively. And that's just the reality of life. And I know I had heard you had retired Sergeant Christy Galligan on previously quoted on the news this morning. And I suppose that's management's issue to be dealing with effectively, to see, you know, what is the cusp of the issue? Why is such a thing happening? Because I know there was a wonderful two-page spread done by Donegal News there in recent weeks, where their journalist worked with the police and a pair of members from the policing unit in Letterkenny, and was full of utmost praise for the work that they undertake and the manner in which they do so. So, you know, every job, every profession, you know, will have underperformers, but you'll also have overperformers on top of that also. So, you know, I think I'd be approach it with a very measured response until the full report is issued. I do still think it is a bit of a summer headline, and I'm not just fully going to be taken in by it just yet. Mm. I reserve judgment.
Yeah, but I take your point. Drew Harris hasn't taken it with a pinch of salt, though neither has the ministers responsible for this area. But as you say, we'll have to wait and see. And unfortunately, it's one of those stories, too, that, you know, this could be an issue in one particular area and it then casts a shadow over an entire force. But such is the nature of the guards, then they can't speak out. And it's a catch-22. But either way, it is something, of course, that does require scrutiny, Dr. Joe Kelly.
Well, look, again, I think I agree with Emma on the idea of a summer headline. We're in the silly season when it dials out and the media may be looking for something. Obviously, it's a serious report and it obviously will be made more available as time goes on when it's investigated and exposed. But the first problem we have is that the Garda morale is probably at an all-time low. There's between 200 and 400 leaving every year. So you have to ask yourself, why? Why is it not being seen and encouraged as a future profession role for young boys and girls? There's a whole question about the morale of Gardaí and the value that they give to our society. And it's our mothers, it's our fathers, it's our brothers, it's our sisters, grandas, grannies, whatever. These people are related to us. And the beautiful concept of Garda Síochána, Garda means protector, Síochán, keepers of the peace. Their job is not to enforce the law, their job is to keep the peace. And so when it comes to patrolling and road safety, their job is to keep our roads safe, not so much the secondary thing of enforcing it. If there's a presence there, then the peace is there. But the problem is they're under-resourced and under-numbered. I think it's about 14,000 Gardaí we have. We should have a lot more. Yeah. And our population's increasing. And let's be honest, murder rates are increasing, crime rates are increasing. I don't want to get into the whole reason why and what's happening there, but like it's a daily thing to hear in the news somebody was murdered. Yet our Gardaí are not being resourced. Mm-hmm. So running to this as the issue, I think the issue is much, much wider.
Yeah. I think with absolute respect to yourself and Emma, this is actually going to be an enormous story, and it's actually going to be very significant in Drew Harris's exit from the Gardaí. Yeah. And the arrival of his predecessor into the post. It is, I see it far more significantly than a summer story, but that doesn't mean we can't all have our different opinions on it. One way or other, I suppose, if there are isolated issues, broader issues, Mary, whether it's a management issue, whether it's a morale issue, roads policing is a very important role to keep us safe. We've almost 100 people dead in the first 6 months of this year, and we need to be assured that, you know, we're doing all of we can to keep people safe.
Absolutely, and the roads are it's a huge problem, and I agree with Joe there with regards to the guards. We don't have enough of them, and when you see that so many Gardaí are leaving their jobs or are not taking up the role of becoming Gardaí, there's a wider problem, and I think that needs to be addressed. Now, that doesn't take away from this report, and I don't know enough about the report, and we all have to wait until it kind of pans out. But definitely, our roads are speeding is huge.
The one thing I'll say about my interaction with Gardaí, and a lot of it is in the road section, from the top down in this county, and I can only go from my experiences, they take the role very, very seriously, and they take fatal collisions very personally. And we see from the weekly figures, there's a great deal of detection out there for drink and drug driving and speeding and what have you. I'm not saying I don't know the guards personally, but I do interact with them professionally. And I do know from the very top down, this doesn't really reflect the people I know within the force, but that doesn't say there aren't those elsewhere that I don't engage with that maybe that is the... So, isolated showers this morning. Some sunny spells developing in the afternoon and evenings. The showers die out. Highest temperatures of 16 to 18 degrees, which is great for all the events planned for the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. The Downings Festival's on this weekend, and there's stuff happening all over our beautiful region. Okay, we've just a few minutes left with our panel. Mary Coyle, I'll start with you, if you don't mind. And it's an international story that feels, intensely local. And that is the ongoing genocide in Gaza. It would seem the international community finally is stepping up to the plate and putting pressure on Israel. The right in America really are their last supports and even they are beginning to wobble with what they're seeing. As I say, I don't know why it took so long, but do you think that, as I say, the world is catching up with, most right-minded people to say, right, enough is enough?
I think so. I think it's something I can't even watch anymore. I just can't watch the news. I can't. You feel helpless when you watch the news, but I think, you can see everybody is kind of coming together now. All the countries are coming together. And I think it's been too slow. You're talking about 600,000 people have died. 500,000 people are starving.
Starving to death.
Starving to death. And people are sitting back and doing nothing. And it even the government in Ireland was too slow to react to this, way too slow to react to this. And I think the proposal of a two-state, that has to work,
But Israel seems determined to, what is the state of Palestine going to look like? What is it going to look like? It is destroyed, and its people. I mean, how can you come back from that? Just even the post-traumatic stress, let alone the loss of family, friends, limbs.
I don't know how the Palestinian people will come back from that. I mean, when you see fathers and mothers carrying their children and they're dead, and you just think, why has the world taken so long to react to this? Why has people sat back and allowed this to happen? And, when you read now, they're talking about, September 2025. Why are they waiting to September? Why not August? Why not the beginning of August today? Why not do it today? Why are we waiting for more people to die? And the hunger to think that the aid isn't even getting to them. Mm. It is just, it's genocide, and that there's no other way around it. But
the funny thing is,
too slow.
That would have been anti-Semitic to say 6 months ago. It's great, it's crazy. Such was the control of the narrative. Emma McGrath, quick word from you, please.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with Mary too. I think it's too little, too late. The screw is beginning to turn, but it just needs to be faster. It was interesting to see the conservative Republican and the big MAGA supporter Marjorie Taylor Greene being the first Republican to stand up this week and to call it genocide, and I suppose breaking sharply from the rest of the party line. Donald Trump has two special envoys there at the moment, currently, inspecting the the food getting in or the lack of it, well, how that narrative is going to be controlled will also be interesting. But definitely American support has dramatically decreased for Israel's military action. But again, why are we waiting? Even this week, Bob Geldof has, stood up and spoken out. Where is such a influential voice like him been before now? You know, why has it taken him so long? It's traumatic like that, as my 5-year-old and 8-year-old are aware of it. You know, we sit at the dinner table and my 5-year-old says, "Daddy, can we give money to Gaza?" And we hit the yellow button in the UNICEF app and we pay for so many meals and whatever. But I mean, it's futile sitting in my nice kitchen eating dinner for 4 of us and thinking that's not even getting to the people that need it.
Dr. Kelly, this whole action, the Israelis would have said, or the Israeli leadership, though I haven't heard massive outcry from the Israeli citizens. This is all about protecting the future Israel. I think they've done more to risk their own future than Hamas ever could have, almost. And that's with taking nothing away from the horrible events of October, that fateful October, and holding hostages still to this day. It's despicable. But I just feel it's kind of hard to come for Israel to come back with any international reputation after this.
The reality is, in Ireland, we know the history of conflict with the IRA and the British government and all that went on there for years. And in fairness, Simon Harris did say it in the Dial, and I have to commend him for this. We were the first country in the EU to call it genocide. That's the first thing. The second thing, our president, Michael D. Higgins, has been very proactive, and he talked about and criticised what happened, and he says this is not anti-Semitic. So as a country, we have been very much to the fore, and people say we haven't done enough. What we've lost as a country, and what's happened here is terrible suffering, children in particular, famine and all the rest, but what we've lost is we used to have a privileged position of being a neutral country. And what we could have had done if we were truly neutral, and this goes back maybe to the removal of our neutrality and what's going on further down the line, but we should have been leading peace talks. We should have called Netanyahu and the head of the Hamas or the PA, the Palestinian Authority, to Ireland and say, look, we will try to negotiate. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the British government had to sit down with the IRA. And at the end of the day, whether we like or not what Israel's doing, this war is not going to stop unless Israel and the Palestinian authorities sit down and negotiate.
We gave up our political neutrality, and it's a shame because we could have played a vital role with our history, not only in that, but also in the beginnings of the Ukraine-Russian conflict. Emma McGrath, thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful having you on the programme and hearing your views. Have a wonderful weekend, and love to all the family. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care, Bob. Mary Cole, thank you for your company and your insights. It's very much appreciated. And Dr. Joe Kelly, it's always a pleasure.
Goramahigat.
Goramahigat.